But he realizes that she's declined too far for them to take this trip. And soon she passes away. And Carl is left by himself in their home, and these unfulfilled dreams haunt him. She has this book of adventures that he will flip through, and then there's this section about things she'll do one day, and he can never bring himself to advance past that stage. And so gradually the neighborhood around him changes, and a developer comes and buys up all the property, and it's only his home that's left. And he's holding on to this memory, and finally he gets frustrated and he lashes out and he hits a construction worker over the head with his cane. And they decide he has to go into a retirement home. And overnight, before the retirement home is going to come and pick him up, he fills thousands of helium balloons behind his house. And the next morning, just before they can take him away, he floats the house off of its foundation and floats it away toward Paradise Falls. What he doesn't realize is that Russell, the wilderness explorer, who has been knocking on his door, intent on earning his badge for assisting the elderly, was on his porch. And so this adventure follows as they float through the air, as they find themselves in South America. And finally, towards the end of the movie, Carl is faced with this choice between holding on to the dreams that he is intent on fulfilling or living into the new adventure that is in front of him. And so that moment is our scene for this morning.
Russell? Russell!
I'm gonna help Kevin, even if you won't!
No, Russell, no!
Everybody find a tissue and let's pray. There's a lot of moist eyes around here. God, we give you thanks for this time to encounter your word and for the stories and the art that often brings it to life in different ways. We pray that your spirit would be present in this place, that it would bring us to life, that it would surround and encourage us. We pray that you would give us the gift of that spirit in this place, that we would be shaped and formed as your people for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That scene to me is so striking of Carl just throwing all of that stuff out of his front door. All the stuff that he has accumulated over a lifetime. And the image of their two chairs sitting by the falls, abandoned for good. He's not coming back to sit in that chair anymore. Carl has left behind a particular life in that scene that he never wanted to leave behind. He never wanted to leave that life behind. His whole life since he was a little boy in the movie is about giving Ellie and himself the adventures that they had longed for, to have the adventures that they had dreamed about as children. And when he lost his wife, he lost her with the impression that their dreams had been left unfulfilled, that the things that they had always planned on doing would never be done. And so he can never bring himself to get past that one particular page in the book. But what he's missed somehow is Ellie's spirit in the midst of that, that she was joyful and spirited, and that the love that they shared, as we see it, was contented and it was pure. And now, in this season, because of this dissatisfaction that has gripped him, now he is this grumpy old man. And it's because he's grieving Ellie, that's for sure, but it's also because he's grieving all the stuff they never got to do. He's grieving all of the stuff that his regrets with her. And what he realizes in that scene is that the adventure had been in front of him the whole time, and that Ellie had seen it. She had been filling in that book with all of the things that had given her life and had given her that sense of adventure. And so that inscription at the end, these are her instructions to him that she apparently somehow knew that he would need to read. Let go of this adventure and go find the next one. This is also the message of the ascension that we read from Luke this morning, the inescapable reality of the Easter story, the most neglected aspect of the resurrection story. From the beginning of Easter, if you read the Easter account in John's gospel, as soon as Mary discovers the risen Jesus, he tells her, "Don't cling to me." You lose that in the excitement of the story and in the promise of resurrection. Don't cling to me because I have not yet ascended to my Father. It's easy to miss that part, that even though this is good news, that there is yet still more work to be done, because Jesus' message is that he has been resurrected, not resuscitated. There's a difference between those two things. He's not going back to the life that he had before. Things are not going to be the same again. And because Jesus is not going back to the life that he had before, his disciples are not going back to the life they had before. It's not going to be the same for them either, which means that resurrection, even though it is good news, also contains grief. There's loss. And so disciples of Jesus who would participate in the promise of resurrection, we have to do the work of letting go of old realities in order to participate in the promise of Easter. We have to let go of the idea of the hope that the old will be resuscitated so that we can embrace the resurrected life, which, while it may not look like it did before, is still new and fresh with possibility. So for Carl, if you know the movie, and I hope you, if you haven't seen the movie, this is my favorite movie of all of them. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. For Carl, resurrection keeps knocking at his door over and over in the movie. It starts with Russell who comes knocking on his door. Carl has no sense of purpose. He's grumpy. He's drifting. And here comes this happy little boy who is ready to establish a relationship with him, and he wants no part of it. They encounter this bizarre bird that Russell names Kevin, even though it's a girl. There's Doug, the talking dog, that loves him immediately and is loyal to him immediately. Over and over again for him in the movie, there are all these opportunities for truth and for beauty and for love and for purpose to come to him in the midst of his grief and his loss, but he keeps missing them over and over and over again, because literally he's toting around this old reality. He's pulling around this floating house by the garden hose. He's holding on so much to this old reality and to the picture that he has about how this life is supposed to look that he can't see what's happening right in front of him. And it's understandable, because the first few minutes when you see the life in just a few minutes and how it's so beautifully, there are no words, there's just music and images, but it's so beautifully put together that shows you the beauty of the life and the joy of the life that Carl and Ellie had together. I mean, you see them working jobs that made them happy. You see them sitting under trees and enjoying each other's presence. You see them laughing. You see them dreaming. And you see Carl developing a very specific image of what joy looks like. It looks like this with Ellie. It looks like me having purpose and meaning and contentment in my life for him looks like this. And when that picture is broken, when that picture is broken for all of us, which inevitably it will be, because nothing in life is permanent, it's easy to believe that when that picture of joy dies, that particular image of joy dies, that joy can only happen for you again if it fits into that particular circumstance. It has to look like this. It has to feel like this. It has to provide me with this. And if it doesn't, then it's not something I can embrace. And so, grief is natural, and it's necessary, and it's healthy. I mean, that season, there's this season after resurrection. Ascension doesn't just follow resurrection. There's a season of adjustment that happens for the disciples. Because we have to go through, you can't skip that season. You have to go through this season of adjustment, this season of grief. But we miss God, the God who deals in resurrection, when we reject resurrection because it's not what we want. We reject resurrection because what we want is resuscitation. We want an old thing back, not the new thing that God is trying to give us. So you have to take part in ascension. Even in the midst of their grief that the disciples feel, you see them wrestle with grief and with misunderstanding and with doubt in the first days after resurrection. But if you missed it in the passage this morning, it says that when Jesus ascended, they were joyful when he left them, and that they worshiped him. And they went and they waited for the thing that Jesus had promised. And that's because at this moment, after this season of ascension, they are ready now to receive something new. They're ready to let the old thing go and ready to embrace the spirit of something new. And what happens as soon as Luke's gospel ends and Acts, which is part two of the same story, begins, is Pentecost. They receive the spirit that Jesus promised which is the Spirit that is going to empower them to live into the new reality that Jesus is offering them, resurrected reality. It's not going to be the same. They're going from the disciples that have been following Jesus all along to being the disciples that are pushed out into the world to be the church. And they're different. But neither, both of them have mission and purpose. Both of them, they do in the presence of Jesus. They're just different. Carl spends most of the movie, I noticed this last night watching it with the group. He spends most of the movie toting the house around, pulling it, dragging it. And he keeps hitting it on things, keeps bumping into mountains and crashing into trees and shaving off bits and pieces here and there. And he won't let go of it. And there's this house, which you, as the person who's watching it, you have this sentimental attachment to it the same way he does. But at the same time, you keep thinking, gosh, that's really holding him back, having to carry that house around, having to find a place to tie it up so you can be free for a minute. And so you begin to see how something that is sacred and beautiful can also become a burden when we won't release it from its purpose, when we won't acknowledge that its season has come to an end and that it's time for it to move on. I wonder how many of us are carrying around things that have been beloved and sacred to us, and we're turning them into burdens, bumping them up against things because we will not let them go. We won't let them ascend. We won't let them have had their season and be gone because we will not embrace resurrection in our lives. Like, how many of us cannot see the beauty and the gift of the marriage that we have now because it does not resemble the marriage that we had 10, 15, 20 years ago? We're still holding tight to that reality which doesn't exist anymore, and we can't embrace resurrection. How many of us look in the mirror and curse the body that we see? Because it doesn't work like it used to. It doesn't look like it used to. Because we can't let the reality of the 25-year-old you ascend to embrace the reality of the body that's still getting you around some way or another in this world. How many of us are missing the adventures that we're having because we're too busy grieving the ones that we haven't had? Think about the church in America who just wants to get back to 1955. When you could fill it up by opening the doors. We want to be resuscitated but not resurrected. Insisting on one image of what it means for us to be alive. So we're coming near to the end of the Easter season. The Easter season lasts longer than the time the candy goes on sale. That's not the end of the Easter season. The Easter season lasts all the way up to Pentecost. That's why this little cross is stayed here with the white on it. Easter season, we're still here. And this is the last gift of Easter is ascension. Its final gift to us is the ability to name our realities, the things that are around us, as signs of new life, even when they don't fit into the expectations that we have for them. That our lives are being resurrected even as we are waiting and hoping for them to be resuscitated. And so you can grieve, you can rage, you can doubt, you can wonder, you can do all the things that the disciples did in that interim period. But in the end, you've got to let it ascend. You've got to let it go so that you can receive the spirit of a new reality, so you can receive resurrected joy. God says, "See, I'm about to do a new thing." Not a rehash of the old. A new thing. And now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?